Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
I don't like people like you.
You know it's coming.
I don't like people like you.
I ain't gotta bite my tongue and I'm not gonna run from a nigga, I'ma stay there. Fuck all that he say, she say. If I gotta tell you niggas off, I'ma say it. I ain't got time for the nonsense. I'ma fuck around and leave a palm print. Fuck a truth, I got the juice. Then I tell your mama that she ain't shit. Use a hoe, delusion though. You don't wanna make no dough. Gotta go to another nigga's home just to get put on. Wasting the dope with your face in the coke. Sick lyricist, you would never see me grow. I ain't no joke and it's no antidote. I'm rolling with a 44 mag. Wanna put it in your throat? You gon' wanna pray to the Pope.
What you looking behind for? Is you stupid and blind whore? Pointing directly at you and your kind. Stop killing my vibe, whore. I don't like lame niggas. Only time he got hard when his gang with him. Till I pullin' up and that thing hit him. So you leave the same way if you came with him. I don't like thirsty hoes. Kool-Aid packs no water. You a bitch-ass nigga, a bitch-ass son, and a bitch-ass father. Probably have a bitch-ass daughter. 18 on the track, doing everything you taught her. Lamb to the slaughter, never get a dollar. Suck that you swallowed and I block and unfollow.
I don't like people like you.
I don't like the way you looking at me like a bad bitch that ain't never happy. Entitled ass, entitled, give me boom backspace. Entitled text, play text, how the rim cycle. Knew it was a rather nigga being Michael. Mike quotes rival, that's a sign of Simon. Cross the idols, ay,
I
do not care if you don't like women, but your rap like your drawers ain't got dick holes in them. Lights off, no signs of movement, sleep. I'm 6 feet tall but underground, deep. Following with some shit that they heard, sheep. Every time I listen to that, weak. Baby, shake your ass to the right, east. I'm a motherfucking beast.
I'm
a boss, you a goofy. Screaming fuck friends, hit them with a little Uzi. Still chop it on the beat like Bruce Lee. Tell her put the pussy on the gram like Boosie. Clutch shot like 2-3. Put him in the grave, shit getting real spooky. Still niggas throw things like Pookie. Don't know the game, tryna bang like two. You niggas bitches, you worse than that hoe. You niggas snitches, you work for the folk. I hit the block with the perp and the drove. I put your bitch in the skirt and she hoe. Whoa, slow down turbo. Gotta keep square, niggas at the circle. AK got a nose like snorkel. Keep two straps on the nigga like Urkel.
Yeah. I don't like people like you. Bitch, I'm talking about you. Pull up if you don't like it, bitch. Pull up if you don't like it, bitch. Pull up if you don't like it, bitch. I don't like people like you. Pull up if you don't like it, bitch. Pull up if you don't like it, bitch.
around this time when it seems like nothing else can get me down. I'll go wrong, the worst situation pushes me to be strong. But you know my mama told me there'll be days like this, so I just keep it moving, you know you gotta keep it moving, you have to. Struggles ain't not ever another day when you're living up.
I'm a mob nigga, flash checker, just like the mob figures, rob nigga, serial killer for the squad nigga, Godzilla, we gon' make it like Jadakiss, shaving bricks and taking shit that made us rich, keep it moving nigga.
Keep it moving, keep it moving, you know you gotta, keep it moving, you have to, ooh, struggles ain't not ever another day, when you're living up in the bay.
Chalk make headlines, nigga. Rocket asleep, it's bedtime, nigga. Watch what you speak on your live, it's bedtime, nigga. East open veteran, elephant on my letterman. Pharmaceuticals and the medicine, what I'm peddling. Church like the reverend, cocaine measurement. Paint on my face, hit banks for dead president. The plug kid, let him in. He dropping off what I wanna spend. An extra box when he come again. In and out the pen, really show the souls of men. Sisters come home, we knock him down like a bowling pin. Put bullet holes in that bin, so you're rolling in. Hit him with that mop and the broomstick, custodian. Fly niggas on they wallet, know you know them. Pay attention, real niggas speaking up on the podium. Low sodium, gang bangers and die gangsters. Man purses, man skirts, a lot of wankers. Scared niggas, go to church, stay out of danger. Niggas getting taxed, you rocking out with these bangers. Don't be like the Kashi and get your video sprayed up. Touchdown, pay up, throw my niggas a layup. I stay with a pack of that loud like coke invaders. It's fuck a hater when you got pounds of coke the way I'm love.
Niggas way up. 100-pack boy, put a range up. You ain't talking money, nigga, hang up. Gold chamber, desert ego, I'm so gangster. Whipping ready, rocking a pot with a coat hanger. Look, pitching hard, balling a mound. Had to change up. Know my alias on the block. Switch the name up. European, off the lot. Switch the plates up. I told them niggas, get your weight up, not your hate up. Look, boy. I got a G for every bump on my face. It's more money, more problems, nigga, Puffy and Mace. It's no way out for shit, so I'm stuffing it safe. Louis luggage in the trunk of the race. I got money to make. I'm from the big O, pocket fatter than Lizzo. H to the Izzo, blueprint, no widow. Chrome pistols, leaving all of my foes crippled. Like Todd, I make your life too short, I blow the whistle, boy. Cash, no, I be trapping out the bando. Get the package, quarterback it like Rando. AI with the rocket got handled. Every time we shot up your block, it got candles. Expert, clock poking out my sweatshirt. Network, Migo pull up with the best work. Ready work, count money, make your neck hurt. Niggas chasing after bitches, get a check first. Never buy a bid for you buy a house. Never. I don't need a scale, I can hide out. Niggas run off on the plug, got them high now. Put some money on your dome, niggas wipe you out. I'm so Oakland, nigga, I'm so Oakland. Like folks smoking, sachos with those open. 40 Glock, 30 shots, that's so Oakland. I be whipping pies in the pot till it's so broken. Zilla.
Welcome. It is I that you see, little boys and girls, Revelation. Listen, why do the good die young and the bad motherfuckers live forever? Cause nigga, we living on hell, nigga. This is hell, motherfucker. All my life, it's like I'm fucking around with the wrong people. Make a movie about my life, it'd be a long sequel. About people living off freebies and rich cheese. That's, right. That's how that shit beats. Out here, you have to grind and get G. No Bentley slipping, unless your name is V. The commission. Listen, little boys and girls, my mama can barely pay the fucking rent. My daddy is drilled, he gotta be somewhere in this world pimping. White bitches a dough, he was a gigolo living Marinin. He used to take me in my village, partners to go swimming. He drove a BMW, they father drove a lemon. Beginning and ending, mama kept spinning. And money on gin and drugs. I had to sleep on the fucking rug where the roaches was. I hung with thugs, always rolling dice and pumping gas to get some cash. You had a store to coat, we mop his ass. My pops would give me cash, but mama, she would take it from me. If I didn't give it to her, she'd beat my ass butt naked, homie. The only way I see a movie was out with the homies. I'm always bummy, had no money, they would pay it for me. My daddy told me when I was very young that he was on the run. I heard him mention something about Colombians, and I could come stay with him if I didn't like the way that mom treat me. I just didn't like the way that moms beat me. With Tonka toys in front of my boy Tibby with objects. So I just got to start a fuck about these projects. I left behind my moms and sisters so relentless. Never thought they'd get evicted and be sleeping on benches. My box was on some pimp shit, so when the Frisco on no Pharaoh, 5-0 kicked down the door, he flushed the elbow. There goes another nigga straight to the pen. By the age 10, then live with every relative and friend I know. Here I go again. Living with my grandma, then my auntie, my uncle, wherever I go. Niggas will get me for my bundle. One on my check with Section 8 and Medicare benefits. But me, I wasn't getting shit. Spend my shit on they kids, that's what they did. Fuck relatives. If I don't do my thing now, I never live. Never gon' get it if you sit on your ass. So fuck math class, I'm on the app with crack. Throw that ass like something like that. I love the smell of money, cash and zigzags. Look at the back of my ass, piece of sag. It's big cash involved, but we all get caught up in the juvenile hall. Scrape your turf on the wall and count. My mama abused alcohol, my pops an inmate, and me, I'm sweeping halls and intake. Hey, my mama carried the weight, ain't seen my pops since 86. Every year in and out of jail for crazy shit. So much shady shit done happened to me, I can't put it behind me. The Lord took my mama life in 93. God bless her soul, cause she was caught up in a household fire at a rehab. So we sued they ass, this shit making me mad. High ass lawyer we had, Melvin Bell, I try to tell my sister that he gets paid half. Settlement me 56 G's, my business a 56 G's, my little sister 106 G's. Ripley's won't believe that for the life of my mama, they only gave us a quota, a meal ticket to split. I can't deal with this shit. I wish you was here to see me get this deal with Chris and new try. Mama, you died, I cry cause you missed the golden platinum flat. I bet you never thought your little black ass son could rap. Now I'm waking off scratch and burning sacks with sparkle. That's my little sister asking the Lord, why did you make her life so awful? Next thing you know, my pops go. In 95, he died of AIDS. It's either suicide or cry for days and weeks and months.
Blowing blunts, keep away flashes. No funeral caskets, just two vases with ashes. I ask if he spare my life, cause all I got is my nieces, my two sisters, and my wife. Recite behind the mic, the type of shit that niggas like. For the first time in my life, I'm making bread, doing it right. But at night, seems like I'm hunted. Probably because Jack moves the nicks, I've done it. What goes around, comes around, how the points and ground to my stomach. Bitches screaming at summit, that's how you bust a nigga's wanted. But I still just get blended in big 600, niggas done it. Done deal, nigga been there, right, right. Blowing hay in the air on the freeway, pray. Forgive me, God is what I would say. I got a lot of days to count. Blessed, went from claiming sets, with yay up in my mouth. See tass and bounce, now I blow hash a half an ounce. Smoke L to the face, shell. Blessed to be living on hell, motherfucker. Cause this is hell, nigga. If you ain't know, nigga,
jail, nigga.
This hell, nigga. Right now,
dead,
I'm a daddy, nigga. Done deal, done deal.
Dead, nigga.
Just glide. Every nigga done had this shit happen to him. You know what I'm saying? All my partners, every nigga I tell that I went through, they did the same shit.
Dead, nigga.
Let's do it. Just salute, dead, nigga. Do our thing. Fuck everybody.
Dead,
just ride this shit. Do your thing. Blaze.
Dead,
get charmed out. All that shit. Whatever.
Dead,
mushrooms and shit. Ecstasies and all that shit.
Dead,
just get high and just reminisce
living
about all that gangster
dead,
shit
nigga.
That you done went through.
Living
and ask yourself,
hell.
Why the fuck
dead,
am I here? Cause this is hell, nigga. Nigga, the good die early. And the motherfucking bad
living
stay here
hell.
Forever. Cause your ass on hell, nigga.
Living in hell.
Cause you a bad motherfucker like me.
Living in hell.
Done deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What it is, King Eric the Great, and you're now tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio, sponsored by Da Vinci Covers, sponsored by Screwball, the Screwball family, Cocaine Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, and we got a live one tonight. We got the West Coast doubleheader right going right down right now. We got T-Max in the building.
Man, what a do, y'all. What a do, y'all. Once again, it's another fantastic Friday of Off the Cuff Radio. But before we get started, man, and my brother King, you know, we can't start without, of course, giving our most humblest and deepest condolences to the Memphis Made Man, PRE, you know, Paper Route Entertainment, entrepreneur, the legend, big homie, you know, rest in peace, Young Dolph, man. We miss you. We miss you a whole lot, man.
Yeah, it's been a rough week, man. We want to dedicate this show to the memory of not only Young Dolph, but I also want to dedicate this one to my uncle that passed away this week as well. So we going to
my condolences.
Do this show the right way. And what better way than to do it in an impactful way tonight, man. We got a double header going down. With the first hour, this guy right here, man, possibly one of the most solid spitters of the West Coast, very consistent, and he's been elevating himself for the past decade. Now he's on Smoke A Lot Radio. Now he got the Smoke A Lot podcast. He's still dropping albums. He's still remaining consistent. And he's not stopping anytime soon. So without further ado, let's bring on Yuck Mouth, y'all.
Jip.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's man. Good, bro?
Yo, yo.
What's going on with you, man?
In the building, man. In the building. What's popping?
What's
yo,
good, my man?
This is, dude,
y'all can
yo,
hear me?
This is the, yeah, we can hear you. We can
yes,
hear
sir.
You.
Yeah, off the cuff. What it do, man? We in this motherfucker. Let's get it.
Definitely,
yeah, man.
This has been a long time coming, man. You know, we got to shout out all the hoods in Oakland, all the Bay, man. We got to shout out Hoover Foster, man. We got to shout out Richmond, Woodland. We got to shout out East 22nd, the Highlands, you know, the Hills, the Flats. You know, it's great to have you with us, man. Another living legend on the show, man. This is lovely, man.
Oh man, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for the opportunity, man. We've been playing this shit for a minute. I've been seeing the flyers for a minute, so, you know, it's finally that day, man. Let's do it big.
Yes, sir, man. And you know what, though? And one of the main reasons we want to reach out to you, because, you know, you're one of those guys that's, you know, you're proving that you're not a nostalgia. You're still putting down quality work. You got a dope project out with Raz Kaz, the D12 guys. Tell us, how did that come about?
Oh, man, they're my brothers, man. Me and Raz Kaz have been brothers forever, man, like since the 90s, man. So that's my brother. And Swifty McVeigh, me and him been rocking out like prior, before the pandemic even hit. We've been rocking out. Matter of fact, he was on my last solo album, JJ, Based on a Bill Story, Part 3. So he is on that album. And we had shared a song together called Fresh Prince. You know what I mean? And Jazzy Jeff. And it also had MRK, who's the other artist that's on the album, on that song. So we had a working history. The vibe was cool from back then, and we just kept on working on shit. And one weekend, we just they just thought we need to put a project together, you know what I mean? Because the vibe is so dope, you know what I mean? Between me, Swift, MRK, and we just added Raz Kaz to the bunch, and Raz been working with us, Swift and MRK, for a minute. So it was just a vibe, you know what I mean? We did the whole album together in the studio together, you know what I mean? Just knocking out song by song, you know what I mean? Going in the booth after each other, you know what I mean? And just knocking it down. It was all genuine, you know what I mean? It was it was dope. Like, it was real dope to rock with real lyrical spitters. It keep you on your game. So it was a real still sharp as steel type of situation. Shout out LB, you know what I mean, the executive producer. He laid it out for us, had dope ass tracks. Some had the hooks on them. We had to come with some hooks and shit, whatever. But after we recorded our stuff, you know what I mean, they got the features on it, you know what I mean. Shout out everybody that got on the album. We even got the dude from Arrested Development on that thing, man. So,
Speech.
You know. Yeah, we got Speech. We got Nature on that thing, you know what I mean. Obi Trice. You know what I mean? A few others on that thing. So it's a dope-ass album, you know what I mean, period. So for the people that's listening, it's an album out called Long Story Longer, you know what I mean, featuring me, you know what I mean, myself, Raz Kaz, Swifty McVeigh from D12, and MRKSX. Dope-ass album. Go check that out.
Man, one thing about it, y'all, is you have been doing this for so long, man. I mean, of course, everybody knows you and Uncle from the Loonies, Operation Stack Hole in 1995, who you and him gifted us with one of the all-time classics forever and ever. I Got Five on it. But you, over the years, have just evolved into this juggernaut, this Godzilla of lyrical genius. I mean, and still not only to this day still contributing, but doing it at a high level, man.
Appreciate
Yeah, I mean, your love of hip-hop, man. I mean, obviously, it still drives you in terms of composing and creating, evolving, executing, collaborating, and being so generous sharing, man. I mean, tell us about from when you started back in the day in terms of how, you know, the genius of Yuck, you know, came into Yuck with the stuff. You know, what really inspired you to really, like, get into hip-hop in terms of rapping and just the evolution of where you are today with it all?
Well, you know, shout out just all the OGs, the LL Cool J's, Run DMC's, all the people, the Two Shorts, Hamlets, you know what I mean, the OGs who made rap popular, you know what I mean, when we was listening to it in our cassette decks and our Walkman players when we was in junior high school. But Numbskull had the rap group called Brothers with Potential when we was in junior high in the eighth grade. So that was like an influence for us to start writing bars and shit. So we had a little group and shit. And then as we got older, we split up and went different ways. But me and Numb stayed together. Hustling on the streets and shit. So I'm back and forth, in and out of juvenile hall. And I had to do a year in juvenile hall. And I think that year in juvenile hall changed my life, man. I don't think if I didn't do that year, then get locked up, I wouldn't have slowed down. There would have been some bad shit that could have happened to me. But
that year in jail slowed me down, gave me a lot of time to think, a lot of time to pray, get close to God, and formulate a plan. So once I was in juvenile, I created the group called the Looney Tunes. You know, I came up with the whole scheme. You know what I mean? It was a vision given to me, and I ran with the vision. And drew the logo, made the name, came up with Numb's school name and my name in jail, because Numb used to be called the Skinny One. You know what I mean? When we was in Brothers with Potential, I was called E-Flow. So when I got out, I had the whole Yuck Mouth Numbskull concept, the condom man, the, you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll type of, you know what I mean, condom man logo, or sex, drug, sex, money, and murder, however you want to say it. You know what I mean? That was what the logo represented. And presented it to Numb, and he loved it. You know what I mean? Wrote the song, The Ice Cream Man, and in Juvenile also, the song which would get us signed eventually, you know, but that same song I wrote in Juvenile, Ice Cream Man, was the song that got us signed to see no records. So I think if I want to spend time in jail and really getting close with God and praying, you know, for the gift to get up out the hood, you know what I mean, I don't think none of this would be happening, man. So, you know, glory to God, you know, straight up.
Yeah, and you guys definitely came out in the 90s where you had to be, you had to up your pen game because you had so many diverse styles. And what made it like finding your style and having you to stand out from the rest? Because, you know, we live in the biting era.
Right, right, right. Basically, we was rapping like that since junior high school. It just wasn't it wasn't popular. We were the ones rapping like Big Daddy Kane and Coogee Rap and Slick Rick. We had metaphors since the 80s, like the, you know what I mean, 87, you know, 85, 88, 87, you know what I mean? So when 95, I mean, the 90s came, you know, metaphors, you know, became popular with rappers like Nas, you know, Redman, Busta Rhymes. They doing the metaphors and the punchlines. We was doing that shit way back when rap first started with Big Daddy Kane, you know, so that being able to do that, that's what we was doing since junior high. So I just kept that type of energy, you know, when I rap, you know, the metaphors and the punchlines and crafty and being, you know, crafty and tricky with your rhyme and your patterns and your flow. So we learned that in junior high school, and I just kept it going, you know, but became more better and more advanced at it, you know, as I got older.
And one thing about it, because when you came along at that time, you know, because one thing about it is just to listen to your lyrics, man, I mean, from there to now, you were always nice, but you and Numb were always nice, but when you did tracks like Grittin' and all that, I mean, you was just like, I was like, yo, this nigga sick.
Thanks, bro.
I don't think people really understand, like, because all the greats that you mentioned, going back to Razzcast, you mentioned, who is one of my all-time favorite MCs, you know, representing C. Austin, that's the city north of Long Beach, southwest of Compton, for those who didn't know.
Right.
You Exhibit, Razz, Souls of Mischief, you know, all of you were
the
part
Link,
of that.
The Alcoholics.
Can't forget them. Shout out Uncle Tash and the crew, J-Roe, E. Swift. You know, you all were part of that. Yeah, you all were part of that from that early 90s to the
Renaissance.
Yeah, that West Coast Renaissance, man. I mean, did you all know at the time in terms of not only were you laying the foundation for the next generation of West Coast, you know, wonder kids in the game, that you all to this day would still be doing it and just, you know, becoming staples, you know, becoming legends, becoming revered, you know, individuals on the Rushmore of many, you know, for being an elite, you know, being elite lyricism. Because listen to you, man, you studied the game. Like you said, the punchlines, you were always sick with it. And we'd be remiss without mentioning this. Dude, you were, like, really loved with a lot of people. And we've talked to a lot of people doing this show. People who mention your name, they got nothing but admiration for your ability. Most notably, Jay Hood. Jay Hood has
that's my homie,
great
man.
Things to say about you, man.
That's my guy. That's my partner in grind. We working on that new Savages Part 2 as we speak, man. So, yeah, that's my partner in grind, man. You know, hats off to him, man. He's an amazing MC, too. Another amazing MC I get to work with, man. So, like I say, still sharp as steel. When I get around hood, man, I can't be slacking in my macking, man. I got to step it up, man. That boy be barring out, you know what I mean? So I got to step it up fucking with him, man, you know what I mean? So definitely going to come a little bit harder than I usually go when I'm rapping with the New York guys. Yonkers niggas is not winning.
Look, I gotta shout out my man Mitchie Slick. Shout out Lincoln Park, San Diego 619, Logan 41st,
oh,
Dynamat. Dude,
click,
dude, I was listening to Trigger Ace's station yesterday, and I was like, yo, I heard you coming on. I'm like, yo,
yeah. Yo, man, shout out my homie Mitchie Slick, the whole Wrong Kind Entertainment family, man. Me and Mitchie Slick go back to, like, the 90s, man. We've been rocking with each other, man. I first met him on a movie set with an artist called Juice from San Francisco, man. Juice was filming a movie, and him and Mitchie Slick was filming a movie, and I had a little role in it and a song on there, whatever. But, yeah, it was a dope-ass little independent movie they put out. That was the first time I met Mitchie Slick, and I was, I think, 97, 98, I want to say, 99, one of those. I think it was 99 because I was rocking Iceberg and shit. So, yeah, it was like 99. Yeah, I've been rocking with Mitchie Slick since way back then, man. So when he brought me down, we recorded that song together, you know what I mean, at his lab in San Diego, man. You know what I mean? With his people, man. So, you know, I rock with Mitchie Slick the long way, man. That's been my brother, straight up.
I wanted to tell you, man, that I'm going to take a little bit of credit to this. So, you know, anybody listen to the show, I'm going to poke my horn. Anybody want to chime in, I'm going to tell you what it is. I went ahead, I put a lot of people on to the Loonies when y'all was coming out. Not with just I Got Five on it, but this was one of my favorite albums, with that Lunatic Music shit. That album was fucking fire.
Thank you, bro.
That one.
Thank you. Yeah, that Lunatic Music. Yeah, that motherfucker. Go ahead, continue. I'm just saying thanks. That's it.
Yeah, and I want to ask you a question about this one, because this been a hip-hop puzzle for me for years. Like, when you did that song with Short, The Funkin' for Nothing, it kind of sounded like y'all was, like, dissing each other on the song, but it was a peace record. So it kind of came out that way.
Nah, man. Short shit. We always talked about the niggas that caused the problem, basically. You know what I mean? That caused the rift between us. That's what we was all talking about, you know what I mean? But it could sound like we was talking about each other, though, but I get it. But I never took it that way. I'm like, okay, Show talk about his people. We talking about our people, you know what I mean? But it could be taken like we talking about each other. I see that. But, nah, Show was talking about his people, the reason why, you know what I mean, he had an issue, and we talking about our people, the reason why we had an issue. Huh?
Yeah, because I was wondering that. I was like, hold on, I would listen to that song, like, five straight times, like, oh, it's like these niggas dissing each other on the song, but it's a peace record.
The one where I got dissed on the song that was supposed to be a peace record was the one I did with the Game when we were supposed to squash the beef, and he hopped on that motherfucker dissing me and Gonzo. I'm like, this nigga. And I had turned my verse in. I had to, you know, had a show the next day, so I turned my verse in, and he added this to play with instead of doing a peace song. He just went hard on the motherfucker, so that's the only song I got dissed on doing a peace song was the one with Gang.
Why you clear that up? Go ahead, T-Max.
I was just saying, and one thing about it, though, yo, obviously, you know, being a distinguished legend in the game, you have always, you know, you've always let niggas know that you wouldn't smoke if necessary. But one thing about it is the panoramic collaborations, just the overall how you've managed to click with people and not only click with them, but have a genuine chemistry when you get on the track with them. Because your career is so distinguished. What was it like how did it feel when you really started making those moves? You know, when you really realized that, like, yo, like I'm really becoming like this dude in the game. Like, I'm really, really making my mark.
when I went to rap a lot, that's when I realized that, like, the Loonies, we're still, you know, getting our feet wet behind the ears. It's new to the game. But by the time I got to rap a lot, I had my own record label. I had a deal at Geffen for one of my artists. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was real seasoned. And then when I got around rap a lot, all the doors opened. You know, Jay Prince taught me the independent game where I knew it more efficiently. Just the roster at rap a lot, just the access I had to producers, to everybody from the Top Dogs, from Scarface to, you know, Devin the Dude, the I Squad, the Tila, to everybody, Big Mike, all became some of my best friends, you know what I mean, in the game. And I was able to bring opportunity. You know, I bought the Outlaws to rap a lot, to be signed, you know, when Death Row was shutting down. I bought me and Sebo over there, you know what I mean, to do the Thug Lords. I bought Spice One over there. I bought Tech N9ne over there. I bought so many people over there, rap a lot. It's ridiculous. Tom Capone, the producer, you know what I mean? That's our producer that started doing, you know, beats with Mike Dean. And they did the Untouchable, the whole Untouchable Scarface album and the Diary album, you know, co-produced by our producer that did five on it. So we brought so much to the table for rap a lot, you know, and my relationships, you know what I mean? Just to being able to have an ear for music and an eye for talent, you know what I mean? I seen Tech N9ne when people thought he was a devil worshiper. You know, I rocked with him, period. I'm like, this is the dopest MC I ever heard, period, man. You know, you need to be in a regime, you know what I mean? Same when I heard Al Pacino, you know what I mean? Al Pacino out there in Ohio, boy, that man got bars, you know what I mean? Same when I heard him, I'm like, you need to be in the mob, man. And I created my own little clique, own little Outlaws, own little Hot Boys, you know what I mean? From the Midwest to the East Coast, down South and the West Coast, we all together as one clique called the Regime. So I had the L.A. function, you know, shout out, rest in peace to Gonzo. Shout out Kenny Kingpin,
yeah.
You know, Monster Ganja, you know what I mean? We had the L.A. fraction going on, Fats, Mad Max, you know what I mean? All them dudes from back in the day. We had the Bay Fraction going on, the Kansas City, the Ohio, the New Jersey with Diesel Don, rest in peace, the Govmatic, the D.C. Function. We had the D.C. area going. We had Down South, you know what I mean, with Dorsell and the Realest. So, you know, oh, yeah, Pretty Black from the Midwest, too. Rest in peace to Pretty Black. He was from Chicago, so... Yeah, our dudes was from everywhere, man. And we still mobbing together to this day, man. Period, the Regime. So just being an artist that didn't have my nose up or my, you know what I mean, acting like I'm too good to fuck with the hood, you know what I mean? Because I am from the hood. I understand motherfuckers that just need an opportunity, and it's on. That's all I wanted was an opportunity. So that's what I try to do, reach back to the hood and help those who need a little bit more help, because they already doing their thing by the time I even come around them, but they need a little bit more help, man. I throw them on my album, throw them on tour, you know what I mean, and try to link up with them and do as much music as I can with them, you know what I mean, to help them blow up. And I consider that just planting seeds, you know what I mean? When you plant a seed in each city, you got trees that grow. You got trees, you got fruit to bear in those cities, man. So each city that I go to, I just plant seeds with the independent artists. So every time I come out there, I'm good, you know what I mean? And I got family. It's like a family reunion when I come to these cities, because I deal with their artists. I deal with their family, their people from the hood, their people from the streets, you know what I mean? I'm tapped in. So that's another good thing about it, just planting them seeds and getting love from all them different markets and, you know, parts of America.
And not to mention, when you did that album, the Thug Dog Abolition album, first of all, what I know is when I listen to that is how crispy and sonically dope that shit was, because, you know, from the opening song, you was tearing niggas' heads off with Godzilla. I was like, God
right.
Dang, this nigga about to go in.
Mm-hmm. It was just my time to really let off a lot of shit that was on my chest, you know what I mean, that I really couldn't rap about with the Loonies, because me and we was raised in two different areas, you know what I mean? Like, we both hustled, of course, but he don't have the history that I have, you know what I mean? So I was able to finally reveal my history, you know what I mean, and really go in. And that's why I was called Thugged Out, because I talked about my life in the streets, you know what I mean? Like, the Loonies was the funny gangster side of hip-hop, so you'll get some punchlines, you'll get, you know, funny punchlines, you'll get funny voices and different shit, you know, like the Red Man skit, just being funny, you know what I mean, period. But Yuck Mouth was serious. Wasn't no little funny skits or no funny voices and shit. It was strictly all gas, no brakes, and just talking about my life, the reality and touching on situations that people were scared to rap about. You know, like I was the first one to mention my mom being, you know, dead, and my pops and my grandma, everybody before them was talking about the dead homie. I was the first one that did a song about your parents being dead and your grandma. Yeah, you know I mean, so I was just trying to do things that people weren't doing. I was the first one, like the game came with the 300 bars. I was the first one to rap from the beginning to the end of a song with the revelations, man, no hooks. So the first to do that, you know what I mean? I was just doing different things that people wasn't doing, you know what I mean? Trying to just switch it up as far as topic matter, you know what I mean? Subject matter, you know what I mean? Songs like Sacrifice My Life, songs like Father Like Son, son. Like just different songs, you know what I mean? Falling, you know what I mean? Just like talking about, you know, your bad times and your good times. You know, rappers, they only talk about their good times. It's like looking at the gram. You only show your highlights, you know what I mean? You never show your flaws. So that's what rap was a lot of times, you know what I mean? Braggadocious, showing your highlights and not talking about your flaws. I was the first one to really open up, talk about my highlights and my flaws, you know what I mean? A lot of people related to my flaws, you know what I mean? And so that's what made the album popular, I think, you know? Thug Out the Appalachian, being vulnerable, you know?
Tell Soulja Boy that. You the first to do all that shit.
Yeah, before Soulja Boy, I was on YouTube. I was the first artist on YouTube. No cap. We was on YouTube 2005 at the end of, like, when that Game Beat started. I would put my video straight to YouTube, Game Over Part 2. Soulja Boy Cranky went on there when that came out. So we was actually the first big artist signed to a record label to go straight to YouTube with a video. Soulja Boy wasn't signed to a record label. We was. So we were the first big artist to do it, signed to Rap-A-Lot. We did that. So I give Soulja Boy his little credit for the, you know, make it popular. But nah, Game Over was the first big hip-hop artist that was signed to a record label that dropped it on YouTube first. Straight up. Do your history. Do the math. You know?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, that's YouTube before it became YouTube, yo. And you got some hip-hop history.
Absolutely. Yes, you know, one thing about it, you being born and raised in Oakland, man, I mean, you represent so much of what it is. You're one of the ambassadors of the hustle. You know, when you look at, you represent places like Woodland, Coliseum, Eastmount, you know, Fruitvale, Oakland Airport. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I represent where Felix Mitchell is from, the king of Heron. You know what I mean? With a mob, the first black mob in America. I'm from where that neighborhood is from. So I got a lot of shit to talk about that none can't talk about. Not from that, you know what I mean? So it's a difference for me. You know what I mean? My dad was a kingpin. My uncles and shit was kingpins, cousins, so on and so on. So I have a lot of shit to talk about, you know, that's different from numbskull raising or upbringing. You know, that's still my brother.
Right.
When we do come together, our vibe is dope, but my lifestyle was totally different from his, period. So my rhymes is different. That's why a Yuck album is different than a Looney's album, you know?
Yeah, and one thing about it,
hey,
man,
you know,
Oakland
with the song,
yeah. Go ahead, Kenny.
I was going to say this, though, with the song City of Dope, it also showed that, you know, you could, you know, paint pictures as well. Like, you know, with your storytelling. Cause we got hit the, we didn't know about Felix the Cat Mitchell until you brought that up. That's just me. We was going by with the New Jack City.
Right. It's just a lot, you know what I mean? The Black Panthers, a lot of shit, you know what I mean? That's in Oakland that people don't talk about, you know what I mean? Hammer ain't never talked about Felix Mitchell and Little D. And a lot of people from my neighborhood funded Hammer, you know what I mean? Put that money up for him to even have to start his career. That money came from us, the hood, you know what I mean? So Hammer don't never mention us, but when he was going around beating people ass, that was us, my neighborhood, you know what I mean? Backstage, tearing shit up for him, you know what I mean? So he's tied to the Ville, too. You know, so it's a lot of shit, you know, a lot of people that we done helped, and we really don't get no love, so I want to show the love, you know what I mean? Like, give it up to the people that's really behind and putting this money up, you know what I mean, behind these artists that's superstars in Oakland, and they never get talked about. So I made it my duty to you know, salute the OGs, you know what I mean, period. The big dogs, you know what I mean, that looked out for all of us, even our parents and shit. Like, back in the day, I don't know about y'all, man, I don't know about these kingpins and D-boys nowadays, but back in the day in the projects, man, when your check didn't come, you know what I mean, you're waiting for your welfare check, you couldn't pay your bills and shit, the kingpin will loan your mom that money, come and pay that shit. You know what I mean? If you need the groceries or something, the Kingpins, the D-Boys, get that to your mama. Go grab some groceries for these kids. You know what I mean? The kids need shoes, man. Go grab some shoes. You know, the Kingpins and shit looked out for the neighborhood. That's why when shit happened, nobody would snitch because they got so much love for it. It's like the Robin Hood, you know what I mean? They the Robin Hood of the neighborhood, you know what I mean? They coming back and giving back, you know what I mean? So that's why nobody would snitch when shootings are happening or stabbings or robberies or none of that shit because they looking out for you. It's a family thing, you know what I mean? So with that being said, you know what I mean, them same dudes taking care of my family, taking care of me when I was young. I just want to show love back, you know?
Yeah. One thing about it, man, y'all coming from the town, man, it's, y'all had a hustle that was just unlike no other. One thing about it in the annals of hip-hop, the Bay Area is always, you know, y'all have fought hard for that respect, but once y'all got it, you know, you all got a cobra clutch in terms of letting people know that this is not only our presence is felt, but we are here to stay. What makes Oakland Oakland in terms of it, in reference to just, you know, that determination, the grit y'all had to survive? And how do you feel about a lot of the new artists coming through? Of course, like Filthy Rich, Cookie Money, and a lot of others carrying on the tradition, you know, that y'all laid the foundation for.
Man, first and foremost, man, salute to both them brothers you named them, both my homies, Filthy and Cookie. You know, they definitely turning on, putting on shit. Jay Style and Livewire.
Yeah,
it's a lot of the big things going down in Oakland, man. People was getting down. So salute to all them brothers, man. The Mechanics, they fucking like the Dr. Dre's of the Bay Area right now.
Yeah.
Beating their ass.
Shout out to Kitty Tweet,
yeah.
Four Rats.
They
yeah.
are boys.
Yeah. Yes, man. Yeah. They're my brothers, man. So everybody, even the OGs coming back. You see Richie Rich putting shit out. Oh, Mr. Fab. Can't forget Mr. Fab. Mr. Fab got the dope era shit going. He putting on for the city.
Yeah.
I just love the youngsters keeping the shit lit. You know what I mean? But basically, Oakland, we always felt like motherfuckers wouldn't give us our credit, so we had to fight for it. You know what I mean? Like everybody, when they look at California, they look at L.A. They don't give a fuck about the Bay. Think that the whole fucking California gangbang and, you know, wear Dickies and khakis and up in Oakland, we totally different. We ain't never wore khakis, Dickies, and Converse. You know what I mean? We ain't never had to, you know what I mean? We ain't never gangbang. You know, we don't ride low riders. You know what I mean? So it was different, a different culture. You know, we come from macking, pimping, and hustling. You know what I mean? And really black unity with the Black Panthers and, you know what I mean, just black unity. You know what I mean? So that's where we come from, you know. So it's the mecca of the game, where all the game come from. You know, even the gangs, like, they started trying to be knockoff Black Panthers. You know, that's where the Crips originally was. You know what I mean? A fraction of the Black Panthers. And then it turned gangster. You know what I mean? So everything started, you know what I mean? Like, all that shit started in the Bay. And then it transferred and go everywhere else and get transferred to a lot of different shit. But the game and the mecca come from Oakland, man. Mackin', pimping, all that shit, prostitution, all that shit, hustling. Crack was made in Oakland. The first spot that had crack in the United States was Oakland, California. They was trying to get rid of the Panthers. It was, you know, systematically made and created to get rid of the Panthers. And they just get rid of the unity, you know what I mean, that Oakland had, and just to turn them into dope fiends and, you know what I mean, arrest them all, you know, kill them off, you know what I mean, and basically just kill our leadership out there, you know what I mean, because it was so powerful. It was spreading to Chicago, spreading to L.A., you know, spreading to New York, you know what I mean, and so on and so on. So they want to silence that. And you got to cut the motherfucking head off the snake and the body will fall. So that's what they did with the crack. So we was the first ones with the crack, first Mac and the pimping. You know, Hell's Angels started in Oakland, first with the motorcycle clubs. Like, there's so much history that comes from up there. It's fucking ridiculous. Nobody give us our credit. So, you know, we stand on that. You know what I mean? Period. We never try to be like nobody else. You know what I mean? We ourselves, man. We talk different. Our slang words and shit is totally different than anybody in America. You know what I mean? It's just us. We different than anything in California, the Bay Area. Even with Sacramento being so close to us, we different from Sac, you know? With Fresno and all the other places, Modesto and all that being so close to us, we different from that. You know, there's something unique about Oakland that nothing got up there in Northern California. Everybody got to come to Oakland and soak up some game and go back home. You know, on the weekend, niggas going to hang out in Oakland. You know, no disrespect to other cities, but that's the hangout, man. Niggas bring their old schools out, they flyest cars, they baddest bitches. You know what I mean? They flyest gear, they biggest pieces of jewelry, and they come to Oakland, Lake Merritt, ride around that goddamn lake every weekend showing off their stuff. You know, so Oakland is like the pilgrimage, you know what I mean, for the fly shit to go down and the player shit to go down and the hustling and Mac and shit that go down. So, yeah, we different, definitely.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And you know from that, level, y'all, you know, when you talk about Oakland, you know, East and West, I mean, and of course King and myself, because we are diehard Raider fans, you know, we silver, black, look, the Raiders belong in the Bay Area. Specifically Oakland. I mean, we just Vegas. We know y'all got our team, but the Raiders belong in Oakland. Shout out to Oakland Alameda. And of course, you know, when you speak on Sacramento, we cannot you know not mention. Of course, shout out to Mozzie Mozzarella fella. You know,
oh yeah,
I mean,
shout out
doing
to the whole Sacramento. Yeah, shout out Mozzie.
And of course,
out,
Mr. Lunacy. Can't forget him either.
Yeah. Man, my nigga Lunastick, shout out motherfucking Brother Lynch Hung, shout out Sebo, the ball head motherfucking nut, you know what I mean? Even shout out motherfucking CML, you know what I mean? All them niggas is kicking up dust. Shout out my nigga Bueno, shout out Gatlin, you know what I mean? Niggas is kicking up dust, you know what I mean? Period. It's a lot of shit going down out there. We recorded a lot of the Mac Dre shit out in Sacramento, man. So
rest
Sacramento is
a romper room great, man.
Yeah, no disrespect to that. Sac is a vibe, man, and all them little hyphy dances and shit came from Sacramento niggas, so let's not leave Sac out with the, you know, they definitely brought some to the Bay Area too, man. Them hyphy dances that Mike Dre was doing, he got that from Sacramento niggas, man. Straight up, something terrible, man. Shout out my niggas, something terrible, but they was Mac Dre hype man and dances, and that's where you see all them gigs and shit, all them routines and shit come from, and they was from Sacramento, man, so Sacramento definitely a pillar, you know what I mean, in a Bay Area game.
Now, another question, man. I want to shoot to you, too. You know, we talking about unity and stuff. Now, do you have another United Ghettos of America project coming? Because it's been a while since we got the last one.
Everything, it ain't about DVDs no more. You know what I mean? It's about digital and shit. And my channel ain't monetized, so I'm not just going to be putting up United Ghettos on my YouTube and not getting no monetization or no type. And then the old ones got, like, X-rated and shit. I can't put that on Amazon Prime or, you know, the other spots. So I got a couple just in the safe, you know what I mean, ready to just, you know, press up and get them ready. But I got to wait to figure out how to monetize the shit or how to sell it, you know what I mean, without pressing it up to be a DVD because DVDs ain't selling like that no more.
Yeah, because you know you're making that transition to the YouTube game now. You're starting to see how it really is. YouTube is very funny style.
Oh, hella funny style. They won't play none of that shit, period. So, you know, I have to get it on, like, Amazon Prime or something and pay for the stream and pay for it to be streamed or some shit like that, you know. So I'm still trying to figure that move out. Once I figure it out, man, I'm sitting on them. I got two motherfucking United Ghettos. I got UGA Passport and UGA Lost Files, you know what I mean, with all the old school footage of Mac Dre, the shit that I didn't put out. Yeah, I got some shit, so I'm sitting on two of them right now. Just got to figure out how to put them out, you know.
I mean, one thing about it is obviously you have gone from, you know, rap freshman, you know, MC to full-fledged entrepreneur, man, pushing, you know, over 25 years and still going strong. Yo, what have you learned over the years in terms of how this business of hip-hop works? You know, working, you know, with legends like Jay Prince from a business side, you know, of course, and then really just from your own experience in the game, cultivating your own culture of how you know, we're going to continue, you know, enterprising and monetizing.
You got to definitely keep your foot on the pedal, man. You know what I mean? Never stop, man. Just stay consistent. Stay original. Stay soaking up games so you can always do new ventures, you know what I mean? Because you can't rap forever. That's why I done did the DVD game. That's why I'm doing the podcast game. That's why I've got marijuana ventures and all types of other things going down, you know, property, you know what I mean? All that type of thing, you know what I mean? Because when I hang it up, you know what I mean, pass it to the youngsters, you know what I mean? I still got money coming in from all different directions. So always look for an exit strategy, man. You can't sell dope forever. And I mean, right now we sell rap. That's our dope. You know what I mean? I went from selling dope on the block to selling dope on the charts. You know what I mean? So that's the new dope is our music. You know what I mean? But you can't sell dope forever. You know what I mean? Hip-hop is a young man's sport. So I always look for other business ventures, other ways to make money. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm doing so many different other ventures and stuff. And as far as just having a passion for it, I love music. You know, I love hip-hop, you know what I mean, period. That's the best genre of music it is. I mean, you know, it's proven on the charts. And I always compete with my last album, so I'm my biggest competition, man. I always try to outdo myself and step it up, man. So I always try to outdo the Thugged Out, the Abolition, the Godzilla album, the New Testament, you know what I mean, the first Thug Lords, you know what I mean, just the albums that the Lunatic Music, the Operation Stackola, all of that, you know what I mean? Just always try to outdo those albums and get better. You know, my last album, I mean, the one before that, Free At Last, you know what I mean? JJ, based on the real story, was trying to outdo that album. You know what I mean? So I'm always in competition with myself and trying to level up, you know what I mean, and extend my story, you know what I mean? Tell different stories I haven't told on other albums, you know what I mean? Or continue the story to where I go deeper into it. You know what I mean? And just keep that storytelling going. You know what I mean? That's what draws my fans in, you know what I mean, to my life story. You know, I could, you know, rappity rap and shit like that, but my stories, my life stories, that's the ones people like because it's a lesson in the story. You know what I mean? So definitely keep that message out there. You know what I mean? And just keep going. You know what I mean? I love music and even the new artists. You know what I mean? Shout out to Mozzy. Shout out to Simbas. Shout out, who else going hella hard? Kendrick brother, Deep Smoke, all them. Like, the people that's really, you know, stepping it up. You know what I mean? Like, the influential. Oh, no, the whole Griselda, Benny the Butcher, Conway, them brothers. You know what I mean? They tearing shit up, and it's motivation. You know what I mean? To make you want to get in the booth and step your shit up and go crazy. So, salute to them brothers. RJ Payne, you know what I mean? That's my homie.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Y'all gotta have something to work for that. That's one of my favorites now.
I'm on his album, man. I've been on his album when he first came out. I tapped in with him from the beginning, man. So, you know, I keep my ears to the street. I was one of the first dudes to hop on his album. I was supposed to be on this one, the song that he got with Papoose and who else he had with that? Papoose, somebody. I missed the deadline because I was out on tour, so I missed the deadline, but. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's my dude, RJ Payne, man. So, yeah, they're dope dudes, man. That influenced me too, man. Dudes is hella dope and make me want to just get in the booth and get loose, man. So, salute to them brothers for the motivation.
Yes, sir, man. And another thing I want to ask you too, man. How does it feel to get back on the road, like back touring after being on lockdown for like a year?
Oh man, we wasn't on lockdown. We the loonies, bro. I got five on them. Cannabis clubs is open. So, the cannabis clubs is open. And they was doing outside events. So, we was performing at cannabis clubs and outside. You know what I mean? Social distancing. They got stage outside in the parking lot. They got everybody spread it out. And we do little events at these cannabis clubs. So, we walkthroughs, shows, everything. So, we was booked throughout the whole pandemic. We didn't slow down, you know? Thank God for marijuana. the cannabis clubs was essential businesses. You know, they stayed open for medicine, to give people their medicine. So, yeah, we was performing the whole year, definitely. We was good. But just to be able to get back to the road to do the big shows, man, you know what I mean, the big arena events, you know what I mean, where everybody got to be COVID tested or you got to have the vaccination, man. We just did a big one. With Bone Thugs, E-40, Fat Joe, us, did this like last month. And the whole crowd had to be vaccinated. So it's kind of different, you know what I mean? But it's safer. It's definitely safe. You know what I mean? They definitely make sure the artists are vaccinated or took their COVID test. So, yeah, it's serious. That's the only thing that's the difference. You know what I mean? It's serious. You got to have your vaccination or your COVID test to even attend. So, it still was packed, still sold out. So, yeah, you know, it's just a little bit more restrictions. But, yeah, we killed it, you know.
One thing about it, y'all, is we listen to you. The enthusiasm, the optimism, the pure joy that you have, the happiness you have, man. To be in the game this long, you know, I'm in Virginia, you know, King, you know, is in North Carolina. We knew about you, you know, we knew about y'all growing up, and now to be able to interview you is such an honor, man. I mean, what is it like to know that over this time with your music and your contributions to the culture that you have reached so many far and wide in terms of having that love, respect, and appreciation?
Man, I never dreamed this in my wildest dreams, man. It's like we just wanted to get signed to a record label and be local in Oakland, you know what I mean? Get on KNEL, you know, get on Video Jukebox or something. And that made our life, you know what I mean? We never knew that platinum albums, gold albums, touring, you know what I mean? Multiple record deals, you know, artists, all the extra stuff that came with it. We didn't know. We didn't expect it. So it's still like I'm living in a super, super, super dream. You know what I mean? It blows my mind. You know, glory to God. You know, all I can say is glory to God and I praise God, because without him, none of this would be going down. It still amazes me. You know what I mean? I'm still like the dude that first got in the studio the first time and sung the Ice Cream Man verse. You know what I mean? I'm that excited. You know, when I do these shows, when I touch my fans, you know what I mean? I always say my new logo is no fans, no bands. You know, our fans pay our bills, man. So I show the ultimate love to the fans, man. I ain't no dude about no stuck. I'm signing every autograph, taking every picture, shaking every hand, you know, kissing every baby, period. You know, because without them, I wouldn't be who I am. You know what I mean? So I definitely show love back. And I'm still like a kid in a candy store, man, just happy as fuck, man, just to be able to do something that was a hobby and make it as a living, you know, make a living, you know, provide for my family, provide for my friends, you know, the people who I employ, you know what I mean, give opportunities to people. It's just amazing, man. It's fucking amazing, man. So glory to God, man. I'm still amazed, you know, still happy, you know.
It's man. You know, we had to wrap this hour up. Sure, there's another question I want to shoot to you right quick, because I know you got things to do. Now, tell us about what you're feeling about I Got Five on it, getting phrased, like, you know, getting played in movies and soundtracks and stuff like that. Like, what was that experience like? Was it like hearing it on the radio for the first time, but on a different vein?
Hell yeah, you said it. You said it. It was like hearing it on the radio, but in a different vein, but a super different vein, because Jordan Peele, you know, he laid out the red carpet for us from the beginning, you know, sent us appreciation letters and this, that, and the third. We got invited to the premiere of the movie. We got, you know, signed letters and, you know, the pictures and the scissors from the movie, everything. Memorabilia, you know, and a personal letter from him. Like, thank you guys. I appreciate it. And, you know, he cast us out. You know what I mean? So I liked it for the fact that it reinvented Five on it for the youth. You know what I mean? Because us, we OGs, we, you know, I assume you're in your 30s and stuff. I'm in my 40s. But the youth, the 20 and below, you know, they don't know this song. So it reintroduced it to them to where now I see marching bands in high school and college playing Five on it, where I see little kids at their piano, you know, playing Five on it, little kids that's trying to be a DJ, you know, mixing Five on it. You know what I mean? So it definitely shined light, you know, far as the youth, you know what I mean? And I think it reinvented the song, you know what I mean? So it's definitely a more appreciated song that the youth is adapting to it, you know what I mean? And that movie brought all the attention to that song. So salute to Jordan Peele, salute to everybody with the whole Us production, the opportunity. You know, they could have used any song and slowed it down and made it creepy, but they used ours. So salute to Jordan Peele and the opportunity, man. We still reaping the benefits off of that, man. Salute to Jordan Peele, you know?
Definitely. And, I mean, it's something, you know, for everything, you know, in hip-hop, because we see a lot of times that with everything moving in the media so fast. You know, we live in a microwave processing of instant gratification that the history has to be told and it has to be documented and it has to be most of all appreciated.
Right.
For a lot of the new artists coming into the game, y'all, what would you tell them in terms of, you know, understanding the culture, the history, and then how to handle the business to make sure that they are preserving culture, history, and maintaining tradition in this game?
Well, before you get into anything, you got to study it and master it. You know what I mean? The history of it, how it was done, how it was created, everything, so you'll know, where it came from and what you're doing. You don't never want to jump at something you don't know the history of it. So definitely do your hip-hop
right.
history, you know, and research your legends, you know what I mean, the people who sacrificed for you guys. I just said it on my podcast earlier. You know, everybody asking, like, why y'all signed them fucked up deals back in the day? Man, we were just happy to get off the streets, man. We didn't know that you could be a millionaire off this shit. We just got signed for probably $5,000-$10,000, probably the most money we'd have seen as a teenager at one time. You know, and happy
right.
to get off the block, happy to have our shit played on the radio, happy to be getting on airplanes and shit and going to different cities and shit performing. We just happy to do that. We didn't know the business, you know what I mean? So saying all that to say this, learn the fucking business, period. Learn the business. Learn your point system. Learn what the 360 deal is before you take one. Learn what distribution is. Learn what a joint venture is. Learn what publishing, mechanics, and royalties are. Get you a publishing company from the rip. That's how you get paid. Get proper management, people that got the best interest for you, right? Even if you wrong, check you when you wrong. You know, and I know yes, sir, yes, man, motherfuckers that just don't let you do bad shit. You know, have somebody that got your best interest and that's going to check you when you wrong and lead you in the right direction. You know what I mean? Stay prayed up. God is good and God is real. You know, tapping in with God could you just open up so many doors for you. It's ridiculous. And I'm not talking just for financial gain. I'm talking about spiritual humbleness, you know, joy in your life, protection, you know what I mean? Because a lot of rappers are dying. You need the protection of God behind you, to, you know, around you to accumulate these millions of dollars and be safe nowadays. So definitely, man, tap in with God. Dope-ass lawyer, get you a dope lawyer that's going to have you, like your manager, have your best interest and not trying to fuck you over. And if you can't, do it independently. Do it independently. Start your own record label. Everything is at the push of a button. You don't need a record label to do shit. Same shit they do, upload on iTunes, upload on YouTube, upload on Vevo, upload on WorldStar, all that shit, Spotify. You could do that shit yourself, period. Websites and shit, you could do that shit yourself, man, period. So cut out the middle, man, and really do your Master P. You know what I mean? Do your baby. Do your J Prince. You know? Do it like the... study your hip-hop and see the guys who started, you know what I mean, without no record labels, put their own money up and was very successful, man. So, you know, it's a lot of things you can learn from the old school, period. Apply that shit to your shit, your hustle that you're doing nowadays. And, yeah, you should be able to win, you know, straight up. That's my advice for any up-and-coming artist from your boy Yuck. Yada-da.
What's up, man? And... you know, we about to get on the hour, too, man. We appreciate you taking the time to chop it up with us, man. We definitely going to keep pushing that line for you. And matter of fact, after the show, me and my partner got some stuff that, you know, throwbacks we want to send to you. So, you know, you could probably post on your page and let us know that we still been following you and we still going to be supporting y'all throughout the way. But you have any other shout-outs you want to give out?
Oh, man, a big rest in peace to Young Dolph, man. That was tragic, you know what I mean, what happened a couple days ago, man. Condolences to his family, you know what I mean, the kids, everything, everybody at Paper Route Empire, everybody at Empire, guys, y'all know everybody going through it, man. Prayers and blessings to everybody. And, yeah, man, you know, that's one of the main things, man. We lost another hip-hop icon in the game, man, to foolishness, man. So, yeah, rest in peace to Dolph, man.
Definitely, definitely. Yuck, this has been an honor. You know, you're welcome back anytime, man. You know, we appreciate these gems that you've given us. You know, the incredible of your indelible, you know, intelligence in the game, man. And don't be a stranger, man. You know, we definitely appreciate
it. Oh, yeah, we got to send a shout-out to Dialansky, too, man. That's the homie.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
Lansky, shout-out.
Salute to Dialansky, man. Definitely, man. That's definitely the folks, man. He got a lot of production on me and Jay Hood album and my album, man. We coming up with some shit, man. Watch this, man. And Dialansky behind the motherfucking the board, the SSL board, putting it in, man. So, yeah, salute to the brother, man, to the broski, man, Dialansky, man. That's the fam.
Definitely.
Let me
give him my socials, man. Follow me on YouTube, man, Yuck Mouth TV. Subscribe to your guy, man. Follow me on the gram at Regime General, R-E-G-I-M-E General. Follow me on Twitter, man, at The Real Yuck Mouth, T-H-A Real Yuck Mouth, man. And get your merch and every all your goodies and shit on SmokeALotRecords.com, man. Straight up.
Most deaf, man. Definitely.
For sure, man. Y'all be easy, man. Off the cuff, man. Good shit. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, too.
All right, brother.
Thank you again.
We'll keep in touch.
All right. Y'all be easy. One mob.
One. Peace.
Yes, sir. Now we at hour number two of the West Coast doubleheader. We got a legendary pioneer on the line here to talk about his album, The Resurrection of Gangsta Rap. His new single, The Agenda, is... you know, causing a lot of controversies, making a lot of people's hair stand up on their backs. But that's what hip-hop is all about, man. It's about bringing that energy back. And he's back on board to talk to us about what he's been doing lately, the album, and where we're going to go from here. So without further ado, let's all introduce our friend, the big homie, Cole187. You on, my man, a.k.a. Big Hutch.
What's up with you, y'all? What's good?
What it do, man? Good to have you back, man.
Man, you know, man, just out here living the life, man. You know, back into the loop, man, you know? Yeah, man. Good. Thanks for having me on. What's good with y'all?
Man, we good,
man. We
man.
Trying to stay warm, man. They hitting us with the chill factor out here.
Good luck with that. Where y'all at?
That
20-degree
weather.
Hey, man, good luck with that one, y'all, man. I mean, it's actually kind of gloomy here, but it ain't. It just get cold at night, so, it should be like that way I'm at this time of year. So, but what's good? Let's get into it. What's good? Talk to me.
Definitely.
Yeah, man. We got a lot to bring up, man. Like, the agenda, you done made YouTube,
yeah,
man. You done joined the list. You done joined the list of people.
And the single right now is OG. So people don't know, but the single right now is OG. You know, but I got multiple singles on the album. I Am and then Agenda, and now I got OG out right now. But which is like the official rollout campaign for my, the agenda. You know, the crazy thing about the agenda, I put the agenda out just to basically have some relevant to say about the current events that was going on. You know what I mean? I kind of didn't want to, with the record being Above the Law Presents the Resurrection of Gangsta Rap, I kind of wanted you guys to know that I'm saying a little bit more than just, rolling out doing gangsta shit. I wanted people to know that I'm kind of in tune with what's actually going on. Politically, socially, and which is what I feel that we done in the early days with gangster rap. It was fun. It was hardcore. It was informative. You know what I mean? So that was me throwing my hat in the ring, putting something out there that was very informative about what was going on with this agenda that, corporate has, corporate global has on everybody. I think when you have a voice, y'all, you need to speak. If that's how you feel on your heart, that's what an artist does. He speaks on. Artist is not trained. Artist is he's the left. He's the guy that's left all the time. And I'm talking about art. I'm not talking about an ideal. A pop guy is an ideal. He can do something, but an artist is a person that he looks at society and he speaks about what's going on outside of his door, his window, what he sees when he's driving down the street. So. That's why I wanted to do, that's why my agenda, and I got, YouTube got really funny with me when I done Lord Jamal's show, the Godcast, and we world premiered the video. Well, next morning they end up banning me, said it's hate me. All I was speaking really was the truth, actually, literally. So I don't know. It's funny now. You know, I would hate for somebody really have to stand up and say something about something real. They'll probably mute you, you know, and you might be saying something that can really help some people, you know. So freedom of speech is one of the more valuable things to us because of the fact of that. If the world goes really, really bad and we need to stand up and speak on it, in some cases what we're looking at is the powers that be will try to, you know, time us out, put us on mute, you know. And I don't like that fact about the game now. If the police are fucked up, they're fucked up. If the government is ill, they're ill. If people have to need to be called on their shit by the people because we're the ones, the boots on the ground, and have to deal with all this madness, you know.
And one thing about it, Cole, is when we look at your history, mm-hmm. of course, with Above the Law, mm-hmm. this album is a very worthy, you know, and necessary, you know, continuation of the, you know, of the legacy you all started, you know, years ago.
Right.
Rest, you know, and one thing.
Rest in peace, my brother KMG. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, UKOS, KMG, I mean, you know, all y'all just, I don't think people still really understand to this day, you know, of course, and GOMAC as well. I don't think people mm-hmm. really understand what you all represent in terms of what it means to really speak about what was going on, you know, then and how relevant it is to now, because a lot of stuff y'all rapped on back then is showing itself now.
Right, right.
When you look at, you know, Hutch, how we're into right now, I mean, we look at, you know, the situations of George Floyd. We look at what's happened with the election, you know, from 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We look at what happened with Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, there is a litany of social unrest from both political yeah. and, you know, world political and social. There's a lot of unrest there. When you really locked yourself into it to create this project, did you understand that this was going to be something that obviously was going to really, really, really – I knew you knew that it was going to obviously get some attention. Did you realize it was going to get that much attention?
Yeah, I did. I did, because nothing has changed. See, the only thing mm-hmm. changed is the way we watch television, talking on telephone. You know what I mean? So
right.
I knew that it was a relevant point, and I know it's something that a lot of people run and duck for cover about over. So because when you look at the landscape and you say, okay, well, George Floyd, that mirrors with the death being, with it being actually a fatal situation, that mirrors the Rodney King thing.
Right.
It mirrors it. It's, you know, it's not, to us, it's any, to us, it's nothing new. It's the same old shit over and over and over. And people, they get on social media, even people that are my colleagues, they get on social media and they're shocked that it's still going on. But I'm like, mm-hmm. yo, it's not much has changed, but the telephone is smaller. We can talk to each other and see. It's not much has changed, y'all. You know, it's like the sun and the moon. It rises and sets the same way. You know what I mean? We act like something is so changed, but really if technology has changed. People haven't changed.
Right.
If you ask yourself on system and the system, okay, here's a fucked up example of it. And the reason why I put my music into a real sense and how we always put our music into a real sense, into what I would say a human experience, is mm-hmm. because that's what people want to break away from. They want to break away to, in music and art, a human experience. They want to have fun. Mm-hmm. They want to have this. They want to see how you feel. But they want to hear you telling the world how they actually feel.
Mm.
So when we made records, that's what records that we made. Those were messages from people in those areas, how they actually felt. And we put it on wax or put it on CD, or put it on cassette or whatever. And now digitally now, you know. Since we know human behavior hasn't changed. We know that. For a fact, we know that
mm-hmm.
human behavior hasn't changed. We know that part. See, that's what everybody keep on falling into a gray area about.
Right.
because the phone is smaller, and now it's not cable, but it's Wi-Fi. That, you know, we are forgetting that what doesn't ever change is the human experience never changes. You still want pussy. You still got to make money. You still love your mama. You still hate a sucker motherfucker. The police will still fuck you over if you get out of pocket with them so-called. They still overdo it when you're a fresh guy of color rolling around and they're jealous. It's that their behavior doesn't change. It doesn't matter that it's a body cam. Their behavior is not going to change. That's it.
Yeah, so human instinct hasn't changed at all.
There you go. That's why I base my music off of how people feel about what's going on in the world. That's my thing. Now, the other guy can stay in a strip club and do this. And do, that's his thing. I don't have a problem with that. Mine is a more overall. But I'm from the era of the Eazy-E's, the N.W.A.'s, the Tupac's, the Wu-Tang's. I'm from that era, the BDP's, the X-Clan's, the P.E.'s. I'm from that era where those guys talked about the human experience. They didn't only talk about the party. They talked about the whole thing, you know, like a human being would do. Everyone doesn't have that skill set. Guess what, y'all? I'm blessed. My crew was always blessed to be able to have hit records and do that, you know. So I want to continue to do that with the Resurrection of Gangsta Rap.
And one thing about it, Hutch, I think that is so necessary is that you all are the living legends of a time when, as you said, because when we listen to it, and it's not about us being older that we don't like a lot of the new shit that's out because we like a lot of it, but we feel today, you know, but, you know, shout out to artists like Griselda, Davies, you know, you know, Rhapsody. All of them, you know. Yeah, I mean, Rhapsody, everybody, you know, a lot of the artists out there keeping the culture alive. I think where we got disillusioned as a culture and as a listening base was that now it's the repetitiveness, it's the formula. It's like you said, everybody's in the strip club, everybody's popping pills. We grew up in a time where there was a balance, you know, radio played everything. You know,
because that's human. Because that's human, brother. That's the human. What you're talking about is the human aspect. Once you take the human, when you put the artificial mechanical into it, this is what it's like a machine. It works. It does one thing. It works. It doesn't change. It doesn't. The plant that we are changes. I don't care if we're from the ghetto, we're from the suburb. We change all the time. We change as us. We don't change as another person. It changes us. So when you formulate something, eventually that's going to catch up with the plant because the plant is going to be like, it's the same old shit. I like it when it was something fresh and new, but now it's not changing. It's not growing into nothing. It's not becoming something that when someone come out and they flip trap now. Now it's this that turns into this. Now it's these 10 groups from this region that's flipping this way. Now what it does is what you're saying is absolutely right. It doesn't make it whack. It just makes it the same. See, that's where people get crossed up because I love a lot of the new stuff because, one, it's very fun. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that as far as it goes, you know, when you're an artist, what we have to understand and what I don't like about big corporations and the way they treat artists like myself, well, I'm glad they do because it empowered me to service you guys straight direct. So I'm fine with that. But what I want listeners to understand is that treat yourself to something other than the strip club and popping pills. Treat yourself to someone that entertains you on these other levels as well because that's going to enrich who you are as a person, as a listener. The greatest thing about people are trying to make our era so great, the greatest thing about our era is that you can go from N.W.A. to De La Soul to P.E. to Nas to Wu-Tang to Snoop Dogg to a Brother Law to, you see how I'm going with this? To Biggie.
With this?
It's not one thing. In our era, it wasn't one thing that was profound. It all was because what people were doing, they were staying open to experience and broaden their palate, as you say, broaden their palate. They were like, it's the same food we eat every day, but we getting enriched. No, you're eating the same shit. You're not going around and experiencing what's going on. And if you're staying in Atlanta, it's fine. I love Atlanta. I'm not saying, but you have to experience different. That's the great thing. When you on the East Coast, you can experience what we were doing in Southern California. That's the beauty of it. And it would sound like you're here. It wouldn't be like we're catering to new. We could, if it's East Coast, we could experience what was going on in the East Coast and be in L.A. And being, I can experience what's going on in New York and being from Pomona, California, homie. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what makes it harmful. Not what they're talking about. It's that the people will not broaden their horizons and create it. We have to, my pop, my uncle told me this, take music further than where you found it. So if I found it, that's a gem. Yes, that's what being influenced in music is about. You know what I mean? So that's what people have to start embracing. The era that they're talking about embracing is not that it was just so better and so hell of a, but it was diverse, and it was diverse because the consumers thrived on that. They didn't say, give us the same old shit. Oh, I ain't fucking with that. If it ain't like this, I don't fuck with it. We listen to everything. People have they go-to shit, of course. Every coast that they go to, I'm Biggie, I'm Tupac, I'm a Mobb Deep, I'm a Brother Law, you know what I mean? Everybody had a go-to. I'm not talking about that, but everybody was listening to it. I talked to so many East Coast cats that say they Brother Law fans. It's unreal the way they be making up the East Coast, West Coast shit. I'm like, that's unreal, man. My whole project used to bump y'all. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm like, un-what? You know what I'm saying? So we have to see fire on that kind of thing, and we have to, one, give them props for one thing, keeping hip-hop out there in a certain sense, but we do have to step in and check the game, too, and say, look, we can be broader than this, y'all. That's cool, but we can be broader than this.
Yeah, I think where it started, you know what's crazy is that I read a report earlier today. And it was from this blog, and it was talking about when the music started becoming less balanceable. And I think it started in around 96, 97 when they passed the Telecommunication Act for the radio. And that's where you started hearing a lot of the same music. They were going to that same vein, that same frequency.
It became formulated. But it always has been, because you got to realize the stuff that we did say. Shout out to Eazy-E, rest in peace. Stuff we did with Rufus Records was never on the radio, but it's bigger than a lot of stuff that's on the radio now. You see,
that's
the crazy part about when radio kicked in. Radio didn't do as much as they try to get credit for making hip hop be what it is. It's really underground made it like that. You know, all these underground people made it that way. All this underground shit that was going on made it like that, y'all. You know, because you got to realize all our stuff at Rootless was never on the radio.
But
radio didn't really embrace hip hop till probably the late 90s when it started being formulated. So if you look at the essence of it, it's still a core of music. You know, it's just now they dictate actually how it's fed to people now versus. The people now don't say that, like, for instance, y'all grew up in that era, right? You guys would go look for, y'all wouldn't look for what's on the radio. Y'all would go look for what's in the street. Now, people are online looking for stuff. They're not literally looking in the streets, but the streets is your phone now. The streets is Instagram. The streets is YouTube. The streets is, you know what I'm saying? So it's not the radio. Still, it's not the radio.
Music has never been
our kind of music is not one thing everyone has to realize, and I've said this on another interview, you hear me saying it through the Resurrection of Gangster Rap campaign, is that hip hop made hip hop. Meaning that the people who done hip hop created the industry, not these other people. No big conglomerate came and said, we're going to pump $1 billion into hip-hop. Nobody done that. People like Easy, people like Jay Prince, people like Luke, people like Russell and Rick, people like Andre Harrell, rest in peace. They built that. And then the aftermath of that, and then the overlay would be Death Row, No Limit, Cash Money, you know what I'm saying? Those people created the industry, what you know it as today. Violators in New York, all them people, those guys were hip-hop people. They didn't come from, they came from hip-hop. They came from the parks, underground clubs, dorms at colleges, selling out the trunk at the swap meet. That's what made our industry, y'all. They'll never be able to format it to where they will own it. That's why it hasn't been taken like rock and roll. See, rock and roll, blues, all that was backed by outsiders to make it an industry. Hip-hop wasn't.
Hip-hop wasn't backed
by outsiders to make it an industry, dog. You know?
And you're right, Hutch, because when we look at the history of it, because you hit on so many levels and you hit on a point that I was going to say, but you nailed it. When we bring it back a little bit, when you look at it, when we talked about the interview last time we had with you, hip-hop was based out of the struggle of black and brown people in New York.
And we
were able to express ourselves through this struggle in terms of how we did it. And one thing about it, when we look at doing this show, King and myself, you know, we talk on the air, we talk off air about it. We're so blessed, we're appreciative we came up in an era to where we were so well-rounded, because over 30 years of it from when we were kids prepared us for this today and what we're still doing,
right.
And God willing, we will continue to do, because we understand it and are able to talk to legends like yourself. And when you look at hip-hop today, King and Hutch, the people that are really into it, because you mentioned it, Hutch, that it's the people that are listening to it from the streets, but it's the people who read the magazines, who are reading the blogs, like, you know, Armando, you know, or Urena, shout out Underground Hip Hop Blog, people who read, you know, Don Diva Magazine, Source, XXL, Murder Dog, you know, Straight Stuntin', shout out DJ K-Slay, of course, Kevin Childs, you know, the publisher of Don Diva, you know, Magazine. These are people who are in touch with it that are not having corporate influence. Because when we look at what was going on, like King mentioned about the radio, what we're seeing now is back in the day when we were coming up from the early years, a DJ's job was to break in new records. So when I was growing up in Virginia, you know, we would hear a variety of hip-hop. We would hear Threats, Let the Dogs Loose. We would hear Cam's Peace Treaty. We could hear Kool G Rap. We could hear Ice-T. You know, we could hear, you know, TCF Crew. We could hear Nas on Main Source.
All that
when we had video shows. We had BET. You know, we had Rap City. You know, we had Yo MTV Raps. We had Video Music Box. You know, dude, I still got my magazines from years ago. Yeah, I still got pictures that I haven't sent you yet, you know, from other magazines, you know, chronicling above the law of history. It's like, dude, I mean, you're talking to two guys here that have been fans of you all for over 30 years and still are to this day and still supporting
you,
to now.
I appreciate you, man. I mean, that's because when you look at the industry, there was nothing for us when we came in the industry, so we had to create our own industry. But go ahead, I don't want to cut you off, though.
Right. Oh, no, you're good, yeah. One thing about it, too, Hutch, because we really have, you know, in the situation of how we've seen the game move, because we wanted to get your thoughts on the situation, tragically, you know, with Dolph's passing, in terms of how beef would be, how beef was for you all back in the day, whether street or industry, and how it has changed today, and precautions artists should take in terms of not either engaging in it or if they have found themselves actively involved in a feud, what precautions and protections do they need to take? Please, the floor is yours.
Well, I think one thing that me being a street person, and I understand when I became highly successful in this, I knew my value. When you have a value of something, there's a lot of people that are going to hate on you. There's going to be people that you're going to think is your friend. They hate you, more than likely. You know, that circle gets very, very small as you become more and more successful. And I think what happens now with social media, with all these different things, like for us, you didn't know where we were. So if I was successful somewhere, it'd be hard for you to catch me. You would know that, you know, you would know that I'm, you know, in front of like a pizzeria or a burger stand in my neighborhood, because it wouldn't be people taking selfies and locating me and that kind of thing, you know. So now I think they have to be extra precautious and understand that there are people who don't really like your success like that, where you're from. And the most saddest thing about it is that it's hard for us to come out that when, like I said, Young Dolph, I heard a lot of stuff about, he's very humble dude. So he probably felt like he's not in harm's way. But people kind of don't care what your persona is if they hate on you, you know. And that's not to say that he was, you know, out there, you know, flipping or anything like that. I don't really know what's going on, but I know what it's like to be hated on and people have no reason to. You know, I had a situation just off what you're talking about. Me and my brother Mustafa, we, you know, matter of fact, he just got home for the feds. You know, we charged big money at that time, right? So, and I just came out with a couple of hit records, you know what I'm saying, like that, and he was doing it big. So we got the Mercedes memo out. We go to our hometown. It's a big party at the Fox Theater, right? Back then, they just throw party at the Fox Theater. So we come in, you know, go down, you know, we fly, you know what I'm saying?
Pomona gotta represent.
Yeah. You know, we're on the player shit, you know what I'm saying? Plus, you know, we ex-D-boys, basically. So, you know, the play is big, you know what I mean? So we're in there, seeing some cats in my neighborhood, buying them drinks, buying this, buying that, doing all this, right? All right. So we thinking it's all good, man. Let's hook up. Let's do something, man. Let's do this more often. So the next day come, my brother called me next afternoon. He said, hey, man, I got to tell you something, man. You know, remember such and such he was hanging out with, man? This other sister from my neighborhood called him and was like, hey, man, them dudes were coming. They was going to jack y'all last night. Now, you see what I'm talking about? We was showing them a king evening, and they wanted to rob us. We didn't do nothing to them. We didn't. So from that point, me and him, you know, and we all right. You know what I'm saying, y'all? We all right. We do all right. So we stopped doing that crap, man, you know, just for that, because we could be like dog for us, trying to be cool with somebody, and then somebody shoot up our cars somewhere just because they're mad, you know, at the fish market or something, bro. You know what I mean? And we didn't show no malice to the dudes. We didn't press them dudes. We weren't flossing them dudes. We were trying to be humble and give back to, you know, giving homies from the hood a good time. You know what I'm saying? But people don't look at it like that. And as we see with social media, where people can drop in on you at something, wherever you at, you post, oh, he over here, people taking selfies and all that stuff. People could just pull up and do what they got to do to you. You know, they probably didn't do it to us that night because we caught them by surprise. But if they was laying on us, they probably would have killed us, homie. I keep it real. When you a street person, I know it, sometimes that stuff bothers you that you can't go back to your old restaurant and your this and your that. Yeah, but you have to protect yourself when you have children. When I started having to raise kids and be responsible for them and a wife and this and that, all that shit is over with. You feel me? I'm just being honest.
Right.
The hood didn't look so entertaining to me, especially when I hear stuff about certain people who hate on you that you've done nothing to and shit like that, y'all. It's real. The hate be real. I don't care how good of a dude you is. The hate be real. The hate be real. And when you're doing something legitimate, you just, you know, people are like crabs in a barrel. But the bad thing about that is that instead of it inspiring people, they want to bring you down.
Yeah, that jealousy is like, something, man.
It's not like you went and robbed somebody and you doing bad. You know, you doing good by fucking somebody over. So people, oh, it's karma. No, it's just I went off and followed my dream and it paid golden for me. And now you're mad at me because you don't have a dream that pay off for you. You see? And it's very easy for people to have that mindset, y'all. You wouldn't know how easy it is because you're not one. You don't know how easy it is to hate because you're not a hater. But for a hater, it's easy for him to hate. And that's what I think about these guys. They have to protect themselves more. They have to stop being, you know, when you become really successful, you have to, people can't have a lot of access to you. That's just the way it goes. You're gonna have to forfeit.
That is real.
You're gonna have to forfeit that. You know, and then when you start having more, because you know, God rest his soul, man. My condolences to his kids, his girl, you know, and all of his family members. His mother, if she's still around, you know, his father, his uncles, aunties, brothers and sisters, man. Because that's heavy, man. If I have to hear about another brother just getting killed because somebody hate on him, hey, listen, the Pop Smoke shit fucked me up. You know, stuff like that fucked me up. The Missy stuff fucked me up. You know, because those guys were on their way to be those next kind of guys like myself. They were the young virgins of us. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Those guys were the young virgins of the real guys. You know what I mean? They really embraced that. Those guys, when I met them, they embraced what we were doing. They went, like, I don't know. They like, hey, man, give me some advice. What to do? How to move? You know what I mean? You know, unfortunately, it's hatred out there, you know? And people have too much access to them. See, in our era, people didn't have a lot of access to us, to be honest with you. They didn't know where we were at.
Right.
If something went down, it had to be in it. You didn't have, see, it's a scary thing when you can post something and people will actually pull up on you from that post.
Right.
That's scary,
you know,
y'all. Not scary.
It is.
It's not scary, but say I post somewhere, I'm with my family somewhere. If somebody pull up on me that don't like me, and they kill me in front of my kids and my girl, homie, why'd they do that? Because
one thing about it, you know, one thing about it, Hutch, when we look at the time today, Hutch, because you all, you know, cocaine, you know, sugar free, you know, you all are the OGs of Pomona, man. I mean, you all had a reputation that was solidified on its own merits to what was done in the field. What we're seeing now is a situation where we're seeing artists trying to get an accelerated level of celebrity in terms of trying to show, well, they out here, this, that, and the other. I'm like, listen, things have changed. And like you said earlier, Hutch, human nature doesn't change. You know,
the person that's trying to
it is technology.
A person that's trying to prove he's tough is really not a tough guy. A person that's trying to prove that he's real is really not really a real dude. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that. See, that's the thing about it. If I'm real, I don't have to go around no areas and prove none of that. You know what I mean? So to go off what you're saying, but yeah, you know, and with his, hey man, stop giving them people access for them to go duck hunting. That's my advice to any of them. Stop giving them access for them to go duck hunting on you, bro. I mean, you know, I talk real, man. I'm a real dude. I'm cut like that for real, man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't scared of none of it, but I want to live through all of it. You dig what I'm saying?
You know, Hutch, every time we have you on the show, you always give us some gems.
Yeah.
I mean,
so that don't mean
you're
not real, man. Because that don't mean you're not real because you take precautions. That don't mean you're not real because, you know, because when it presents itself, guess what? You prepared. See, that's the thing a lot of person that takes precautions. When some show up, they're prepared. Person is out there, I'll keep it real. They don't really know. Dog, you have to car wash, dog. You're doing the cross feet looking at you, homie. You know what I'm saying? You got to hear record out, man. What are you doing here, homie? My homie, when I was coming up, my homie would tell me, what you doing over here, homie? Like, what you doing over here, little homie? You know what I'm saying? Because they was real G's. I'm from a real G's. And that's not something I'm bragging about. You know me, bro. Y'all talk to me a lot off the record. You know what I'm saying? I don't proclaim to be tougher than the next nigga that's tough as me, homie. I respect, but don't disrespect. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I think these guys have to understand that, look, man, hey, it's a whole different time frame. It's a whole different access that they have to y'all, homie. Like, you're successful, man. You got it. I always tell youngsters, know your value, man. Don't get caught up in the thinking you're the same guy from the project when you're a guy that's traveling the world and jumping out of private jets. They don't look at you like that no more.
And what you said, Hutch, about access, it's real. Because a lot of times, me and one of my aces, we were talking about it the other day. One of my homies from high school who was real heavy back then, you know, and you know, me and him clicked just off of our love for hip-hop, you know, and he's still one of my best friends to this day, you know. But he came in, you know, off the block, you know, from where he was at, you know, coming to where I was and, you know, the school, high school I was at, and niggas hated on him right away because he had all the fly shit, fucking all the bitches. I mean, you know.
And he ain't taking nothing from nobody. He's just grind.
But it's like, but there was an incident, I don't want to get too deep on the air about it, but there was an incident where, you know, they ran up on him. It wasn't a bad run up, but he took it like a G. And but his thing was like, man, he was like, they don't know, man, because I could have called up that hood and like all of them would have got aired out. Now we back in high school, mind you, and this is how much pull he had back in the day,
right?
You know, hey, but but it's one thing about it is go ahead.
No, it is like what you're saying, man. It's like people have too much access. But go ahead. Yeah, they have too much access.
But one thing about it is, one thing about it is, even then, you know, me and him talk all the time about it. You know, in terms of, you know, moves that we make. You know, how we keep our personal, like, you know, business, you know, off the lines. Like it's like the, you know, I don't post up. Just like King don't post up. We don't post up where we at unless it's beneficial to the brand that we have. You know, if it's some shorties I'm fucking with, niggas ain't going to know the bitches I fuck with. When I was hitting the club, they would just see me with a baddie come up in there. They'd be like, yo, where'd you find her? I'm like, hey, she was always in the cut, homie. It's just, you won't get that cut.
People know who your queen is access. People know who your children are access, man. You don't access them. You don't let the people get that access when you were super multi-million dollar commodity stuff. They'll do that. You better know your value. I tell them to their face. And that ain't no sucker shit. I tell you to your face. When you start making millions of dollars legitimately, you better start knowing your value, man. Fuck all that. Keeping it real, motherfucker. Yeah, you real rich. How about doing that? How about being real rich? Okay? You know... I'm keeping it real. Oh, you mean you keeping it real at that big ass house that you're in up there? No, man, I'm still that project. No, you're not. You're a guy that lives behind a gate and you have a $3 million house. What are you talking about to me?
Yeah.
What do you want?
And after a while, you
want to see him to 1050 or you want to send him to college? What do we do? Which one you want to do? Because I've been there. That ain't fly. So. You know, and I know a whole bunch of real motherfuckers, but that's my take on it, y'all. And the reason why I even do records like I do now is to actually be an OG for the young G's. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't do records. I do records to say, like, look, I need to talk OG shit to actually lead people somewhere to be like, okay, I want to get to that level in 25 years or 30 years or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? If that's what we need, that's the responsible thing to do. When you're a real person, when I say real, you went through something that's real in your life that you need to speak on to inspire people, to warn people, you have to conduct and carry yourself in a manner that it is upstanding. You feel me? You can't conduct yourself in a fashion where I'm just like the young motherfuckers out here. Well, when I was 21, I was supposed to be wilding. You know what I mean? When I was 25, I was supposed to be doing stupid shit, you know, to be honest, because that's how you grow, you know. But you have to be mindful to what you're doing as well. You know what I mean? When you start actually seeing a little bit of success, you have to be like, well, okay, now I got to be more responsible. You know, it's just, that's how it's got to be. You know, it's one way, y'all. Listen, it's the life that you work for and try to obtain, when you have it, it's one way. It's not all those other things that when you were struggling, it's like saying, I'm a rich dude that do poor shit. That doesn't make sense, right?
I never heard that. That's one right there. I never heard
It makes any sense. If you logically think of most of our people on this planet, in this world, we never apply logic to where we're actually at. I'll give you an example. When I was in prison, I didn't do much music in prison because I was in prison. You see what I'm saying? I reflected on, I mostly wrote after I got out of prison to give you a reflection of what I felt like when I was in prison. Guess what, y'all? Because when I was in prison, I was being an inmate. I wasn't trying to be a rapper in prison. You understand what I'm saying? That is important for you to understand because that could be a point about you living and dying. You skipping around the chair like you on BET, nigga, and you on you in a fucking medium motherfucking aggravated medium FCI, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I learned that from going away to where things are moving. When you're in that moment, be that moment. One time a lieutenant came to me. We was going to chow. He said, one thing I like about you, Hutchinson, is that, hey, you always have the skills. You always have this. But if people know who you are, and we know who you are, and we talk about you in the, he said, but you never ask for extras. You never want shit. I said, man, I'm in prison, man. What do you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? Ask you for an extra fucking biscuit, you know what I mean? Because I rap, I make my eyes like everybody else. And when I get home, I get back to popping bottles, fucking bad bitches, driving big cars, and do me. I like that. Yeah. Don't give me no extra. Don't put no motherfucking target on my back. I know the reality of this shit in here. So that's what I mean. And when I got home, I didn't come home acting like no inmate. I went right back to the studio and went back to my offices, went back to making motherfucking music. You feel me? Because that's the moment that I was in at that point. So what I'm trying to say is when people live in these lives that they're in, when you become a millionaire, bro, just live a millionaire. It's okay. That's not no sucker shit. That's not, I don't care how tough you is, or just live a millionaire's life. Because when you go to prison, whatever you do, you're going to live like an inmate. You're not going to be that fly, flamboyant dude on the street. Look, I was in there with millionaires, including myself. We were all in there for money, big dope, or I was in the Fed. So you're not going to, they're going to go in there and be inmates. They're not going to be, oh, we're going to do a bid tonight. There's no club in there. There's no, you got to be an inmate.
Right.
You feel me?
That's real. Everybody has a number.
Everybody has a number. This time you got to stand up at 4 o'clock. Child time is this. Everybody got to move. We want to go to the library, go work out in the gym, go to the yard. You know what I'm saying? Everybody on the same type of time, doing the same shit. You know, the dude that embezzled $20 million and crossed the tier from me, he got treated the same way as the dude that got caught up for 15 keys. You know what I mean? They got the same treatment. He didn't get the big multi-millionaire treatment because that's what he was. This ain't no motherfucking good fellows and fake shit like that. It's real life, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's in there. Them Italians, I was in that wing, wasn't in there cooking scrisolis and whatever the fuck they, we got our own wing. No, it wasn't like that. Motherfucker was fired up. Motherfucker who hit the government for $20 billion with the child with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they made it like jail was a big fancy place to be. They made it like jail was a big fancy place to be, and they had people signing up.
Man, listen, let me explain something to you. When you live in your life, if you able to make millions and millions of dollars in this shit, live like a motherfucking millionaire. Don't live like no fucking lord. You here for real motherfuckers. Can't nobody tell me I ain't real. I ain't no rat. I ain't none of that, homie. But when I speak from an OG perspective, homie. I'm cool with how old I am. I'm safe with it, homie. I ain't trying to be young. I'm trying to be an OG. So you hear me speak? I'm going to speak anything from an OG perspective, homie. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to hear that shit. Because I tell motherfuckers, you talking about, I'm doing this and I'm big time this. Well, when I was big time moving, I got indicted, man. So knock that shit off, man. If you that, you that. If you ain't, leave it alone, homie.
But that's real.
Ain't no
talk,
fun
man,
to promote. Ain't no fun to promote fake shit. Ain't nothing. You don't get nothing out of promoting fake shit when you a real motherfucker. Ain't no. You don't get nothing out of that when you a real motherfucker and talking real shit. You talk real shit, homie. When people talk to you, you don't give them some real shit if you a real motherfucker. You know, a lot of these people in this music industry, homie, and in general, they get in it with a misconception. You know what's real in the music industry? The energy that you on that motherfucking tape. That's the real shit. The energy is real. the ism is real. Everything else is like, I was on the block doing this. I was this. You're not actually on the block, homie. You're playing the picture. So why are you trying to have that play out in real time after you have a hit record?
You know, Hutch, and that's just real because, yeah, and when you look at it, Hutch, what you said about understanding, knowing your worth, and once you've made that transition, once again, on this show, disclaimer, we don't put out names to try to disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I hit up Jazzy Rosa, Sean Del Rosa. He said what up, man. You know, manager of the East Side, he said what up. Yeah, when you look at what happened with Fetty Wap, you know, when he got hit, and we're like, you know, we you know, me and King got the news, and we're like, what?
It happened.
Yeah.
It happened. So I said, oh, motherfucker. Hey, look, get out of here. We just started the same way. So they, I ain't going to say nothing about Fetty. Fetty trying to get his money. What I'm going to tell him. You know what I mean? What I'm going to tell him. Hey, you know, hey, man, this. Opportunities, opportunities, y'all. You know how that's from within inside of a man himself. You know, you can say no, or you can say go. You know what I mean? You can say no, or you can say go. If you, but I hope you do. I hope that guys will stand up, guys, because I don't respect nothing else. You know, I don't respect nothing else. If people ask me about Tekashi, I got love for Tekashi's music, but he's a rat. I don't fuck with rats. You know why I don't fuck with rats? Not because Tekashi ratted. I don't fuck with rats because I got ratted on. See? You see? See, a brother with Joe Blow motherfucker like yourself, you should support Tekashi because to you he's a rapper. But for me, I'm a criminal, homie. I did crimes. You know, I do legitimate stuff now, but I did crimes, homie. So if anybody that ratted on somebody, I can't never back that up. I can't never do that, homie. Period. That don't stop knocking his music or nothing. Listen, man. I'm not going to give you a chance. Okay? So that's what I don't deal with. That's what I don't deal with stuff like that. You know, and that's real. I'm telling y'all some real shit on y'all show. You know what I mean? A good dear friend of mine ratted on me. So I don't do them. I don't want them in my area. I don't want to have no relationship with them. I don't want to do no records with them. Not because they rap and not because they're a rat, because they rap. Because someone ratted on me, and I don't advocate that behavior, pimping. I don't. You know? All these other people who trying to jump in, all these other people trying to jump in and say, hey, a rat, he did. Okay, have you ever been on the street doing shit? Then what the fuck they have to do with you? Okay? Just be real, bone to bone. See, street people, one thing about us, we don't ever set up and check all these motherfuckers who ain't in the streets. Or never been in the motherfucker. We just let weirdos run around and have they fucking shit to say about what happens in the streets, and you ain't never been in. You ain't. That's like you say your partner was, homie. He's offended by that because he's in the streets. But if you a motherfucker, industry motherfucker, of course you gonna. But Tekashi, yeah, of course you gonna be cool with it because you're not in the streets. So with that, I hope he deal with it with honor. I hope he does the right thing by him and not rat and take his time and do his time. Whatever he would fight hard to be responsible for what you're responsible for and do your time, man, with honor, man. That's what real people, if you're not, you should have got involved. If you can't do that, you shouldn't have got involved. You shouldn't have got involved. And that's not a take, like, I don't like to get into the narrative, y'all, of a fuck Tekashi, this or that. I just have to say, I wouldn't have anything to do with it because I was, someone snitched on me, man. You know what I mean? So I can't support that kind of behavior ever. It'll be wrong for me to do that, you know? So.
Okay. So Hutch, we got to ask this question. When do we get the book? We need the book. We need the book. We need your autobiography.
Tell me.
We need the book.
Tell me. It's coming.
we need to be the first.
Look, man, it's just a lot of stuff going on that, like, with my businesses, you know, and I haven't had time to sit down and write it, you know, with me doing a new record, creating three different new companies and stuff like that. I haven't been there. And then a television show I got coming out, I haven't been able to sit down and write the book. But, yeah, it's coming. You know, I mean, it's funny. my team always asked me, like, man, you need to do a book. You need to do a book. I'm like, no, I don't have time to do what I'm doing right now, you know. Let alone put my break into a book. But it'd be awesome, man. I mean, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
You got too much. You got too many dope quotables, man, to not have a book. I mean, look, every time we talk to you on and off air, man, you always give us something that it's like we remember.
That's right.
I mean, man.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you
There's
know,
always some gems.
If the thing about it is, when you, all I ever wanted to do, and it is to, and just like me and my crew, like me and KMG, when we speak, we always said the greatest thing that ever happened to us is that when people come up and say, like, oh man, you helped me through it. I made it through. I grew up on this. I did it. And at the end of the day, we want that more than having a platinum record on our wall and it being on the charts, because the way we created Above the Law was it was from a human perspective. It was some guys in a dope spot trying to get out of their dope spot with music. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So what I'm trying to say is that's how we made it through. Creating that music is how we made it. So when we give that to y'all and y'all say, y'all helped me make it through, that's more rewarding than a Grammy or this, or you know what I mean? So that's why I think we're due to do all the stuff that you're talking about, and we're destined to do that, because in our whole journey in this, we never thought that we would be legendary. We never thought people would label us as anything but just some guys who, you know, we just wanted to be known as doing it the right way, you know what I mean, and doing it for the culture as people use now. But back then it was just doing it to say, hey, we want to change our financial conditions. We want to help our family. We want to raise our kids in a better environment than we were raised in, you know. So that's why, yeah. So definitely if I can write a book and inspire you as much as I inspire people of my music, I'm more excited than you to do it, you know. But it's worth
the big,
you know?
Right now. Look, Jay Prince did his, Prodigy did his, Snoop did his, you know, Rick Ross has two of them, Gucci did his. We need yours.
That's right.
And DJ
well, I'm
going to
do it.
DJ Yella did his.
Shout out to DJ Yella, man. Yeah, shout out to Dr. Dre. And she did, man. You know, Ice Cube.
Man. It's good still to see you getting around doing the press and, you know, giving your story. And saw you on the Eazy-E joint that Tracy did. That was pretty cool.
Her and Aaron. My next thing that I want to speak on. And I'm going to say it on y'all show, and I'm going to start speaking on it. You know, Eazy-E is supposed to have a star. You know, I think that's really messed up that Eazy-E doesn't have a star in Hollywood Walk of Fame, man. You know, none of us would even exist without Eazy-E. Some of the guys with stars wouldn't even exist without Eazy-E, you know. So I think that's very important. I think people forget Eazy-E. You know, the greatest thing to me than Muhammad Ali, as Muhammad Ali, you know what I'm saying? So those are two people in my life that highly influenced me with how to carry myself and conduct myself as an individual besides my pops and my uncle, you know? And I think that's a travesty that, you know, he doesn't have one, you know, and because he's very important to the culture when people talk about the culture, and he is the industry that we call today as West Coast music. You know what I mean? When you say West Coast hip-hop, it's nothing but synonymous to Ruthless Records, and he created that along with my bros. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's one thing I always want to put out there in any interview that I do, man. You know, the brilliance of Eazy-E, man. You know, always remember Eric White, man. Never forget Eric White, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's a pioneer right there, man. And I salute y'all for keeping his name out there, because his contribution to the game is definitely need to be heard.
Grail, man. That's the holy grail, man. When God said, let there be light. You know what I'm saying? God said, let there be light. You know what I mean? And that's the light put on you, man. Nobody did it like him. It was no industry. I'm telling you, that's why I say that to y'all. God said, let there be light. There was no industry out here.
Yeah.
That's what people don't know. They keep taking it for granted, y'all. That's the theory of God said, let there be light. His money digging in his pocket was the light. What are we talking about here? Practice.
Man.
Look, come on now. These cats, they better know, man.
One thing about it, man, is that over 30 years strong, man, you know, you all put it down for y'all hometown and the P-Town, man, where all the players play, you know, where everybody posted up, you know, doing the stuff, man.
Right.
I mean, this is always a pleasure, Hutch. I mean, you know, we're still sitting like, you know, we're just sitting like students, just soaking up the lessons from one of the legends of so many. We're happy to be in the classroom with Swag.
And you guys are in an elite class, because what y'all do. When you're protecting the legacy, you're a part of the elite. You know what I mean? Not the usual suspects. It's always slanging shit from our era, or slanging or acting like they were so profound in the era, but they doing bullshit in this era. You guys are doing the things that's going to keep you elite, and that's going to keep the culture preserved. You know, other people, they're going to fade away, y'all. I mean, mark when I tell y'all this. They're going to fade away, because that's how it works. Hip-hop is too real. It's like your mama's cooking. It's like, you know when it's not in there. You know that ingredient's not in there. You know what I'm saying? If it's not in there, you're going to go looking for that ingredient, dog. You're going to go looking for that ingredient. You're going to look for that home-cooked meal, man. People get tired of fast food, though. I'm telling you. Hip hop is an authentic form of music. It's home cooked. It's homegrown. It's never gonna go too far away from that. It just seems like that because it's so saturated. You know what I mean? So guys like yourself are a part of the elite to protect that, to protect mom's recipe, to protect granny's sweet potato pie. You know, her peach cobbler. Y'all protecting that, y'all. You know what I'm saying? That makes you elite.
Yeah, and to get that,
and we definitely appreciate that, because you know we gotta be that. We gotta be the people that hold the guard the right way, the standard.
There you
barrier.
Go. Yep. Keep pushing the recipe, man. You know,
we gotta be the standard bearer in the area. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
And to get such high praise from you. Look, we on cloud nine, man. I mean, when we interviewed Yella a couple months ago, he said we were one of the best interviews he ever had. And, of course, we get to talk to you. So we get to talk to two direct descendants of that ruthless Eazy-E tree, man. And to talk to y'all, man, is like shows we're doing the right thing. It shows we're moving it forward as we should be, and pragmatic, you know, in terms of not staying.
I can tell you, other people are going to come and go, and you guys will still be here, trust me. Other people will come and go, and you guys will still be here. Because that's real. That's what real does. Real doesn't go anywhere. It grows. It evolves like a universe. It doesn't need a guide. It doesn't need it's going to grow itself. So, you know, because it's real. But, I mean, I thank y'all for having me on, man, you know what I'm saying, all the time, you know what I mean, in the record, you know, and all the people that's been supporting the record and everything, you guys as well, for always supporting me and my crew and my brand, you know, and shout out to my man Cocaine. He did a phenomenal job on the record. He's the only feature on there, and that's on purpose. You know, the whole album is produced by me. That's on purpose. And, you know, that we're going into a new era of G-Funk and trying to continue that legacy as well. And that's why we did it the way we're doing it, you know. And the Resurrection is getting great reviews, and the consumers loving it, and, you know, and people that are, you know, the tastemakers as well, you know. So I appreciate y'all for supporting it off the rip.
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt. And you're definitely welcome, as always, to come through, you know, to chop it up, or if you have anything to promote, or just, you know, just the build, man. We love the build.
You know, I hit y'all when something's on the burner. Me and Cocaine, next year we're dropping the Architecture G-Funk album, the ALGF record. We have returned. So we're definitely, me and him will definitely be back on that. I'll be, the Black Godfather comes out in spring. So I'll definitely be back to talk about, the first season of that. And, you know where you can find me. Master Musa Roy, 187 Rock Boy Honey's World. That's my IG. You on Facebook, follow me, Master Musa. You know, on Twitter, it's the Real Cold 187. Follow all my brands, OGFashion.com. You only get the records, the merchandise, all of the Above the Law merchandise, and the music is on OGFashion.com. You want to get the fly player gear, that's MasterMusaRoyalty.com. You know, and Rock Boy Honey, it's coming, the new issues will be coming out in January, so follow us at rockboyhoney.com. And Musa TV is where the, MusaTV.net is where the Black Godfather be world premiering and all my videos, and also on my YouTube channel, Musa TV. You know, and that's it, man, you know.
All
right. Yeah, man, on that note, we about to sign up out of here. Big shout out to Yuck Mouth for joining us for the first hour, and big shout out to the Cool 187 for joining us on the second hour.
Just. That's right, y'all. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you.
On that note, we gone. See us this Saturday and Sunday. We steady pushing, man.
Yep,
that part. All right, y'all. 100.
100, man. Peace.